Debussy's Children's Corner Suite and Angela Hewitt with a section of it there, and playful, theatrical, perhaps. Let's head to the theater right now. You're with the New Classical FM. My name is Mark Wigmore. It is time for our daily look at the arts.
And the ghosts of the Alex will sing, dance, and play for spirits of the past 100 years. When the old stage is bare and they're
Well, the Royal Alex is the most famous haunted theater in this country. A new song and a new story are being shared in the Mervish Productions newsletter. Meanwhile, and you have a chance to help tell the tale. So I thought this afternoon we'd get into ghost stories of Mervish past with Mervish director John Karastamatis. And we started off this segment with music telling the tales of hauntings at the Royal Alex. And John, great to be with you.
Thank you for having me.
Before we get into what you're working on here and what I've just read, I'm spooked, I have to say, but the music we just heard, tell us a little bit about the history of the Royal Alexandra and maybe a few examples of the hauntings over the decades that inspired this this moment with the newsletter.
Yes. Most theaters are said to be haunted.
Right.
I think that goes back to the origins of Western theater in ancient Greece, where the theater was a communal event and a spiritual event. It kept part of that, those elements as it evolved into the theater that we now have. Most of the theaters that we have in North America are no older than 150 years.
So different than Europe in that respect.
Yeah, right. Europe they're a bit older, but not that much older.
Right.
They're not that much older. If they are older, the building that stands was not the original building. It's been rebuilt many times. For instance, in London, the Drury Lane, Theatre Royal Drury Lane, has been rebuilt many times. The building that now stands there is maybe 100, 125 years old.
So sort of comparable, yeah.
Yeah, so the Royal Alex was built in 1907. It's 113 years old, or will be in this August. Because theatre works on a different level than many other forms of entertainment that we now have, and nowadays, of course, we have no live theater because it isn't safe for us to gather in large numbers.
Right.
So all we have is electronic or technological entertainment. So we have television, we have live streaming on the internet. But the reason theater has survived is because of the alchemy that happens when you put performers telling a story and spectators watching that story, and they're all focused on the same thing. And when that happens in one space, the energy it creates is what we call the magic of theater. So it works on a spiritual level. And because of that, I think people think spirits live in the theater. And old theaters, of course, have seen many different performers. And these performers have passed away. And when they enter the spirit world, where else would they end up but a theater? Because that was their spiritual home to begin with.
Right. I want to point to the story that you've written in the Meanwhile newsletter this week, and it takes place in 1959. I don't know if it's based on actual truth or what you base this on, but Jack is this new night watchman. Herbie is this longtime general manager with the theater. Herbie has a lot on his mind. The O'Keefe Center is about to be built. The Royal Alex is, you know, he's still trying to bring people in. And this night watchman, Jack, is hearing ghosts and big noises throughout the theater when he's making his rounds. And that's the last thing you want to tell, your audience when you're struggling. And you don't want the media to get a hold of that. So tell us a little bit about the story and the inspiration and what people will experience.
So yes, so over the years, there have been many stories about ghosts at the Royal Alex, and there are two types of people. People that have ghost experiences at the Alex and people that don't. I'm one of those people who doesn't.
Okay.
And years ago, we actually had a group of ghost hunters, it was an amateur group, approach us because they wanted to see, to prove that there were ghosts in the Royal Alex. And they had all this equipment that would measure all kinds of things in the building. And they asked if they could stay there overnight. And because our insurance policy dictates that somebody from the staff has to be there when there are other people there, I chose to be the person to be there. And they set up all this equipment and they went about, you know, measuring everything. And they kept saying, oh, I feel this and I see this and I hear this. I felt and saw and heard nothing. Finally, one of the women in the group said to me, you know what? You're about as sensitive as a stone. And it's true. You have to be open to these things,
right,
in order for them to affect you. And in the story, Herbie, the
night watchman,
general manager.
Oh, okay, yeah.
General manager. Not open to these things. He's worked there 20 years. He's heard all these stories. He's never seen a ghost or anything, and he just finds it just part of the superstitions that the theater business has always had.
He's grumpy about it. He doesn't want to hear about this stuff.
He doesn't want to hear about it. You know, he's sick and tired of being told you can't say Macbeth in the theater because you'll just bring bad luck, and you can't wish someone, you know, have a good opening or have a good performance because that will bring them bad luck. Instead, you have to say break a leg. You know, most of us know these superstitions.
Right.
And so this new watchman, Jack, he's only been there two years, and he has the worst shift. He has the overnight shift. And he tells somebody that he's been experiencing these unusual and unexplained events and hearing these noises. And Jack just is not going to put up with this. He just says, come on, you know, like, you know, it's 1959. You know, it's modern times.
Right.
Those are old superstitions, and so that's how the story begins. Is this conflict between these two people that have two points of view? Jack, who's not a theater guy, this is just a job for him. He used to work at Hart House Theater, looking after the boilers before this job, so it's just a job for him. And Herbie, who grew up in the theater, learned to love the theater and has devoted his life to the theater, and doesn't want all the baggage of superstitions, you know, to come into modern times. So that's the premise of the story, and it's based on that conflict that already exists in the Royal Alex between, you know, some performers claim they actually see ghosts,
right,
in the wings, in the boxes, you know, in the dressing rooms, they actually see them. And others will have heard and seen nothing and will not put up with that kind of nonsense and fight it. So this was a way of dramatizing that.
What I love that you're going to do with this is you're getting your readers to take part. So if people read this story, they go to Mervish.com and they look at Meanwhile and they read this story and they want to add to it, how can they do that?
Yes. So we're asking people to participate. So the story will be serialized every 2 weeks. Chapter 2 will appear next Tuesday.
Yep.
And because we have 2 weeks between the publication of each chapter, we're asking people to send us in suggestions of what could happen next. So, you know, chapter one ends at what we hope is a cliffhanger, and so you want to come back and find out what happens next. And you can actually decide what happens next. You can participate, and we'll take the best suggestions, and I'll write them into the next chapter.
And I'll point out, I don't want to give too much away, but there is banging and there are screams being heard. So we'll let people know that. So you got to read the story to find out what happens. But ghoststory@mervish.com is the email that you can write into with your suggestions. And John, this is just a wonderful project, and I feel like we're learning a little bit about the history of the theater and, you know, what maybe happens behind closed doors in the middle of the night.
Yes, and that's why 1959, I chose 1959, because that was a pivotal time in Toronto theater.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
It's, you know, it's when things changed, and of course 1963 comes along, and the Royal Alex is sold, and thankfully Ed Mirvish bought it.
Right.
And just revitalized it, and it is what it is today because of him.
John Karastamatis with Mirvish Productions, thank you for sharing these stories and for being on the program this afternoon.
Thank you very much.
We're going to listen to a little more of the music that's been created around this particular story, and you're with The Oasis here on the New Classical FM.
There's Oscar O'Hare, who twirled through the air, the best dancer